Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're very welcome back. So, well, we were meant to be building up to Barcelona-Liverpool non-stop between now and 8 o'clock, but events have intervened. We're joined on the line by Willie Mullins. Evening, Willie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Thanks so much for taking the call at short notice, but it's turning out to be one of those days.
Yes, even I'm surprised. Ruby caught me on the hop, got off the horse. I said, well done. He said, you better find a rider for Live, Love, Laugh. Later on, I thought, well, is he dehydrated or something? He's not going to ride for the rest of the day. And then he said, I'm finished. And then it dawned on me that he just announced his retirement. And what is a surprise to me, and we don't discuss the R-word in our house for either man or beast. And caught me on the hop completely. But delighted to see him going out on his own terms. And, you know, end of an era. Just delighted to be part of the Ruby Walsh riding career. And it's just a complete end of an era.
Yeah, it's hard to overstate just how brilliant he's been. And as you say, what a lovely way for him to retire. It's never going to be an easy moment or an enjoyable moment, but to hop off a winner, Punchestown Gold Cup winner, his health intact, and we know about his injuries over the years.
That's it. I mean, he's local to get track off that with way. All his pals and family, everyone around him. And to ride the biggest winner of the week, you couldn't get much better than that, I think. So he picked his moment.
Did you have any inkling in your private moments, Willie, that he might be going soon, as in this year?
None whatsoever. I just thought maybe if he rode Ralph Vinden to win the Grand National in Aintree, I saw him out on the track with his kids before the race, and I thought, oh, what are you doing there, you know, bringing them out on the track, and they were all over in Aintree, and I thought maybe, and then completely forgot about it until he said it to me in the winner's enclosure. So I thought when that didn't happen, I said, well, he'll probably ride another season and then plan his retirement. But obviously, it was in the back of his mind. And, you know, what a great way to go.
What did you say to him when he told you?
I just thanked him. I said, thanks and well done. You know, I was just gobsmacked. I couldn't, you know, I thought, well, what a way to go and well done to him.
It's hard to find the words for that moment, I presume.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was just a shock. And, you know, that was the end of a huge riding career. I mean, he started with me when he was 16. His first ride for me was a winner. I just thought, what a natural talent he is in the saddle. And been with me ever since. Never had a cross word. I think we've always, you know, thought the same way about horses and racing. And his knowledge of tracks, especially for us, you know, when we go to England, he knows all those tracks, knows all those English, the English form inside out. He's going to be hugely missed. Hopefully, he will, you know, I certainly have a position for him in our place, maybe as assistant trainer or something like that. He might, you know, he's doing a lot of work in TV and radio and that sort of thing. So I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he has a plan in mind himself, but hoping that we're going to be part of it anyhow.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, just on that point, actually, he was at a show with us recently, a roadshow, just last week, actually, and retirement or the possibility of it came up. And he was coy about his plans, but he was asked about the thought of maybe becoming a trainer. Have a listen.
Do you want to be a trainer when you in the next phase of your career? Is that something that interests you?
I don't know. I think training is extremely different. Riding is very difficult. Riding is easy. You get off in the bread ring and walk away. It's not your issue. I don't have to go to the bar and have a drink with the owner when it's finished 17th and try and tell him that it'll be all right tomorrow. And by the way, I have two more Licky to buy. I don't have to do that. I'm just a jockey. So I don't know. Have I the people skills?
How you do?
I don't know. And you look at it, and whatever way you look at it, how viable is training as a business in this country? You see the amount of trainers that have gone out of business. I don't know, Jar. You never say never, but right now it wouldn't be for me anyway.
Yeah, there you are, Willie. He has unique people skills, I would say. Very charming in a certain way, but unique.
Yes. I mean, I know he's always felt that a bit about training. It's very difficult for some very successful jockeys to adapt to training. There's so much disappointment in training, and it's a different skill. You know, he has a lot of the skills that that you need to be a trainer. But as he says, maybe he hasn't a temperament for it, you know. So I don't know. But sometimes, you know, now that he's retired, he'll be able to reflect on it more. And, you know, he has a nice place. He could easily start training there. And but I imagine he'd probably just take time out to relax and get riding out of his system. That takes a while, too, for top sports people to get their game out of their system.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll take him 6 months or a year, I'd say, to get it out of his system.
No, I have I have no doubt.
And then he'll reflect, I'd say, and maybe think about starting off training if he wants to do that. But he might find other easier ways of making money.
Yeah, no doubt. You talk about the 16-year-old that you first saw and the level of natural talent. Could you expand on that for the uninitiated, Willie, and what exactly you saw or what you meant or what you felt?
Well, he just, I mean, he rode that filly for me that day. She was very, very difficult. He'd never sat on her before. So, I mean, he just adapted to her in a something like a 23 or 4 horse race, which is very difficult for a 16-year-old with very little experience to ride in around Leopardstown with the top amateurs at the time. And he just weaved his way through the field like he was doing it all his life. He was just a natural from day one.
Because I had a big chat with him a couple of years ago, and there was a quote from Davy Russell that I put to him, and he sort of nodded in agreement, where Russell was saying, Ruby Walsh, exceptionally clever. Moving is the last thing we want to do in a horse. You want a forward rhythm. If you see Ruby moving, there is an issue. Ruby had such a grip on his legs. He's getting the maximum before they ever start moving on him. And he was talking about how you have to have the horse feeling your presence at all times so you can give signals. And it seems, you think of AP McCoy, and it looks like he's going, you know, hell for leather on a horse, and sometimes Ruby might not be moving, but he was doing so much beneath the water.
Yes, Ruby, his strength was his forte. You'd think he's sitting still, but he's actually squeezing with his legs and hands, and you don't even see it. So his horses are galloping for their life for him, even though you don't think that he's moving. So once he starts to move, you know there's very little left in the tank.
Mm. It seems like he had exceptional judgment as well of pace. It was something he even spoke about last week, how you pace a horse. Talk to us about that, because I presume that's a very difficult skill, especially under the pressure of a real race.
I mean, he's riding horses since he was a kid. He had a natural clock on his head. When you jump off in a race, he knew well whether that horse was going too fast, too slow. You know, some horses just can't go the pace, and if they can't go the pace, you've got to just let them go their own pace and hope the race comes back to you. And he had the confidence to do that, whereas other jockeys would put them on their head, go too fast for them, and next thing, you know, they'd be at halfway, they'd be out of the race. Whereas with Ruby, you always knew at halfway, even though you might be last, that there was a great chance that he would still come into the race. And sometimes you don't get up and win those type of races, but he would have the confidence and the wherewithal to sit and just wait for the race to come back to him if they were going too fast for his horse.
His record at Cheltenham goes before him, 59 wins, leading jockey, just the 11 times at Cheltenham, a National Hunt jockey in Ireland 12 times. Where does he rank for you in the annals?
I mean, he must be the best we've ever seen. I thought that. My father probably had Martin Maloney as the best rider he ever saw, but that was back in the 50s, early 60s. But to me, I've always, you know, we've been blessed in racing, I think, with Tony McCoy, Richard Johnson, and Ruby Walsh. You know, those type of guys are huge. Charlie Swan, you know, they're legends, so they are. And to me, Ruby, in his era, anyhow, is the best I've seen, anyhow.
Right. Okay. Big words. You're going to miss each other.
Definitely. That's why I'm saying I'm hoping that he'll think that, you know, we work hugely together. Anyhow, you know, he's a huge part of our team. So now that he won't be riding them, but he still could be a huge part of our team. And once the dust settles, we'll see what he wants to do. You know, maybe he has other plans, but hopefully I'm part of him.
Well, look, Willie, if the price is right, I'm sure he'll consider it.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I have three runners here in this race. So
oh, do you? Sorry.
If they do something wrong here, because I didn't get a chance to give instructions to any of the riders.
Oh, listen,
like
sorry.
That.
So you're still going, of course you are. Right. Well, listen, appreciate your time. I know you wanted to come on and pay tribute to him, and there'll be plenty of time for that as well. But thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll let you go.
Well done. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks a million. Ruby Walsh retiring with immediate impact this afternoon at Punchestown, and Willie Mullins good enough there to come on the phone amid trying to organise races. We'll come to Barcelona, Liverpool in just 1 second, Kenny. Johnny Ward's at Punchestown. Hi, Johnny.
How are you, Joe?
Yeah, good. So Ruby catching everyone unawares, including Willie Mullins there, as he was telling us. The greatest he's ever seen is Willie Mullins' verdict, and that kind of sums it up quite neatly.
Yeah, it was just on Wikipedia there, and it told me that Rupert Ruby Walsh was an Irish National Hunt jockey, and it's obviously true. You know, there's something very final about going on Wikipedia when is becomes was, and Wikipedia has updated its page in the last hour. I don't think this has sunk in at all. You know, it's not a massive surprise that he's retired. I think people watching our roadshow last week, you know, might have gotten the impression that he wasn't going to retire, but I suppose he didn't entirely rule it out either. And I thought this season, you know, if you watch him, he does hobble a bit, and he's kind of been selective with his rides, and he is 40. I thought it might be his last season, but what a way to go out. You know, he was brilliant on Kenboy. It wasn't the most straightforward ride that he'll ever give either, because the horse was a bit free. But, you know, what Willie said there is basically true. He was the best. Was he the most naturally talented? If he weren't, he was very close. And just in terms of how he delivered, he was basically flawless as a jockey. So naturally talented. And he goes out in one piece somewhat. And I think that's the main thing. You know, he's going to have a big career in the media or whatever he chooses to do as well.
Yeah, he certainly will. His injuries are well chronicled. But for people just keeping a casual eye on his injuries, he's had a difficult 2 years, Ruby.
Oh yeah, like broke his leg, returned to Cheltenham, broke it again the following day. He's broken around 20 bones in his body. I think he's broken his leg 4 times. His ankle, wrists, dislocated shoulder, ruptured spleen, vertebrae, a lot more than that as well that you just probably were too small to mention for him. And, you know, we've had some jockeys suffer horrific injuries in recent years, and when you go to 40, we had Barry Geraghty on recently. Barry is pitting to come back from a very, very severe injury as well. And you're obviously just conscious of the fact that Ruby has kids, he's a family, he has another 40-odd years or whatever to live, and he's probably thinking of the next chapter. And there was an amazing moment in that Willie didn't expect him to go out. He said, you better get somebody to ride in the next, because I'm gone, I'm finished. And that was Ruby. You know, he's very much of the moment. But you know, if you can see a photo of him riding Cololta Vic in 2016, where the horse is one of the worst mistakes I've ever seen, and Ruby just doesn't move, he just sits on the horse. And Ruby for me was that when you're riding a horse, an animal that basically has the power to kill you if he wants, you're better off cajole it and coax it rather than bully it, and that's what Ruby rode like.
Yeah, he sure did. What was the reaction around Punchestown? Did Ruby kind of, after he announced it, after word had spread through, did he go out and take his acclaim, or had he disappeared at that stage?
No, he was given what, you know, was otherwise a sort of run-of-the-mill interview with Brendan McCardle, who's the racecourse PA here. And then he basically said, yeah, I'm not riding again. And all of a sudden, the parade ring was absolutely crammed with people. The jockeys came out for a guard of honour. Ted was crying. Jennifer was crying. There were loads of people crying. You couldn't put a figure on how many were crying. And the jockeys lathered them with cold water, which was probably quite nice because he was sweating profusely after riding Kenboy. And there were a lot of grown men crying and grown women crying. And, you know, this hasn't sunk in for a lot of people. We really have just witnessed greatness over the last 25 years or so.
Johnny, stay with us. Davey Russell's on the line. You're there, Davey?
Yeah, hi, Joe.
Thanks a million for joining us. Sum up what we've seen here in Ruby Walsh.
It took him so long to get down off the podium for the Gold Cup, I thought he was having to change his mind. But come here, every lad in the Wareham that wants to be a jockey had to raise their game once you're competing against Ruby. He was an exceptional horseman. If he was in front of you, you were always worried. If he was behind you, you were always worried. You know, he was just a master tactician, and he was a credit to his family, and he's a credit to the sport, really. You know, he just behaved himself so well for such a long period of time, and he never waned under pressure. He was an exceptional rider.
What was your relationship with him? Obviously, two guys who are desperate to win at all costs.
Yeah, no, it was fine. We had a couple of words there, I think, maybe 10 or 15 years ago. I think there was one occasion we bumped into each other maybe on the wrong day, and it ended on that day, and after that there was never a problem. He was a very fair rider. He was shocking fair. He was where he was his position. He didn't give it away. He didn't ask for an inch, but he didn't give an inch. You could have learned so much off of him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's funny, we had Willie Mullins on earlier, just a few moments ago, and I put a quote of yours to him, actually, because it's always stuck in my mind, where you were saying that Walsh, exceptionally clever, and you said, moving is the last thing we want to do in a horse. You want a forward rhythm. If you see Ruby moving, there's an issue. Ruby had such a grip on his legs. He was getting the maximum before they ever started moving on him. And you're kind of making the point, really, that we probably don't know the half of what Ruby's doing on a horse because he's so still on it.
That's right. I rode in the Gold Cup today, obviously his last winner, but I was watching him from behind and I was thinking, I have a chance of finishing in front of him. The horse is doing way too much. And then he comes out and he wins the race. You know, I just don't know how he was able to do it. He could anchor a horse to a degree that it didn't use all the energy. Maybe where another rider, when they'd anchor a horse, they'd never finish the race the way one of Ruby's could finish. I just could never understand how he was able to do it. Mm. He was always motionless. He could, like, what is going through his head down to an obstacle not to move? It's a very difficult thing to do. You're always either trying to shorten him or lengthen him down to an obstacle, whereas he was always, he never moved. Like, he'd just sit there, but everything that was going on between his hands and his legs was unbelievable. But you just couldn't see what he was doing. He never gave away. He never showed any signs of what he was doing, but he was always doing plenty, if you know what I mean. Mm. He was either always just bringing him that little tiny touch back, or a squeeze would get him that little tiny touch forward, the little bit that you needed. But from an opponent, you couldn't. It was very hard to tell, if you know what I mean. Whereas another rider, you could tell when they're moving. You know, they're looking for something, and you then see if a horse is going to react to that. If he doesn't react to it, then you kind of have an idea that you may be going better than him. But with Ruby, it was always very difficult to tell.
Just a master craftsman, really.
He was brilliant. Yeah. He was brilliant, and we all learned so much from him because he brought it to a different level. Like AP was such a brilliant rider, but he was the complete opposite to Ruby, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he was hands and legs everywhere.
Yeah, but moving, AP liked to move, and that was his style, so effective. But Ruby was the complete end of the other end of the scale that didn't move, but got the same results, if you know what I mean. So it'll just tell you the different styles that are out there. I've always tried to take bits off of different riders, but Ruby was one man. If you copied him, you should end up on the floor an awful lot of times, you know.
Look, you're a brilliant jockey in your own right, so it's probably unfair to ask you, but do you have him above everyone?
I think so, yeah. Well, I don't think so, I know so. Yes, I have him above everyone, without doubt. He always was above everyone for me. He was the target, you know, as in the level you wanted to ride at. You rode, if you could compete with Ruby, you competed with everyone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I was just able to, lucky enough, I came across a couple of very good horses and I was able to get to that level, but he just stepped up the game. And I'll be honest with you, when he was in the Wareham, I rode better, because you needed to ride better. Mm. And that was just it. So he was an exceptional rider. He was a gentleman. Didn't suffer fools, rightly, but at the same time, he never stepped up or below. He was the same level the whole way through for all his career. He's a credit to himself now, really.
Davey, brilliant tribute. We really appreciate you coming on short notice. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. Spot
Cheers.
On.
Davey Russell there, who knows a thing or two about being a good jockey himself. Johnny, final word to you, I suppose. You're still kind of processing end of an era feel. Ruby Walsh was an icon in the sport, and he'll be talked about for a long time. He'll have a statue next to AP at Cheltenham very soon, I would presume. and there'll just be a lot of people feeling very nostalgic and wistful today.
Yeah, it's been nostalgic in the present, I suppose. You know, but today is a great day because Ruby went out in one piece. You know, yeah. You've seen too many jockeys who didn't. And, you know, the older you get and the more broken up your body is, the more risky it becomes. And he had kids. He's done the right thing. He was of a golden generation. And Davy Russell belongs very much in that generation. His ride in the race that Kenboy won was exceptionally good today. He finished third, but it was as nearly as good a ride as Ruby gave Kenboy. Add in Tony McCoy. I would never have been Tony McCoy's greatest fan, but what he achieved was incredible. Then you have Barry Geraghty and Paul Carberry, who was right up there in terms of natural ability with Ruby. It'd be a close call, I think, for, you know, the most erudite racing historians between Ruby and Paul Carberry, but ultimately, Ruby was the greatest and probably the greatest of all time and quite possibly the greatest I'll ever see.
Okay, well, we'll leave it on that. Johnny, thanks a mil. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Johnny Ward there with some immediate thoughts. Now, Kenny Cunningham, do you have a sense?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do. Just the description there in terms of how he rode, in terms
Davey
of the
Russell,
emotional...
Yeah,
Davey, that was very interesting in terms of what he was saying.
Mm. We're going to take a short break and then you are going to preview Barcelona-Liverpool for us in the next 5 minutes. We'll get stuck into that interesting Liverpool team news.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.